This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Sam wanted to talk to me about a couple places to. I've never spoken to press yet about the movie, so you'll tap me on the shoulder if I say something I'm not supposed to say.
Yeah.
There's some things I'm not supposed to say, but I guess it's known that in the world of Oz, I'm an animated monkey, and I'm Oz's sidekick. So when you're doing, it's my first time doing. I mean, I did Chicken Little, but that was in an animated movie. So this is my first time doing an animated character in a live action movie, and so there's times when you don't necessarily have to be there to be shot. So there's times when he's like, hey, he emailed me, I want to find a place to keep the character Finley alive in this sequence. So we come by tomorrow, and we went up to editing, and he kind of showed me a sequence, and together, he's just so amazingly collaborative. He's like, where do you think Finley, what should Finley be doing in this sequence? Because I haven't really figured it out yet, and I'm worried that he might be missing from this action sequence. So we went up to editing, and he showed me a sequence, and it was really cool. And we just kind of talked about some places where we could kind of keep the character of Finley alive during this courtyard sequence. So that's what we do. I mean, that's kind of, it's working with him is just so unbelievable because he's the most collaborative filmmaker I've ever met.
I mean, you're a filmmaker yourself, but when you watch him juggling with 30-foot cranes and the army of extras, including specialized extras like the characters playing with munchkins and the people in the Tinker makeup, and there's a set for the blue screen and the 3D camera, does your mind just boggle at how the devil he keeps everything straight?
Every day. Every day. In fact, I can't believe that. I remember when I made my movie, the stress of a $2.5 million movie, seeing this scale and how he's always calm. I mean, maybe he's freaking out in his brain, but he's just so kind. I mean, you could ask the office PAs. They will tell you he's the nicest man. I mean, from no matter who you are on this set, if you're a background person, if you're office PA, if you're the cinematographer, he is just the kindest, sweetest man. And genuinely interested in what people think. You know, some people are like, you know, trying to be collaborative. Like, yeah, what do you think? Okay, I'm dismissing it right away. He, you know, he'll see him talk to Joey King, who's 12, and just completely, honestly listen to her thoughts, which is so smart because isn't she one of the targets, ages of the audience? A, she's a very precocious, smart girl, but also she's like the audience, you know? So I really learned so much from watching him. He really deals with it all with a lot of patience and calmness.
Now, in the Kansas sequences, your character is named Frank.
Yeah,
so we assume that you are L. Frank Baum, that you wind up being a chronicler of these adventures.
Oh, that's good. I hope so. That would be a cool explanation of it. I don't know where the name came from, but the idea was, like the original, that people in his real life come to this world with him in one incarnation or the other, and they all he learns from them in the ways that he couldn't learn from them in his real life. So whereas as Frank, I'm his much put upon assistant in Kansas, and he treats me like shit and is horrible to me. Sorry, it's Disney poo.
And feces.
He treats me like feces and. Cute little poos. Cute little Disney poos.
Tiny pellet, like a rabbit. Anyhow.
He treats me horribly, and it's in going to this world where I'm manifested as this flying monkey.
And much more charming.
And well, I'm cuter, definitely. Yeah. That we have a story arc where he's actually able to learn from me and trust me and in the end be my friend and give me something that I really wanted in as a human incarnation, which was friendship and his acceptance. So it's done really, really well and it's really cool.
Can you cue us in a little just to the personality of the characters? Like, what are they? Are they?
Doormat is the good way to put it. As Frank, he's a magician and I'm his magician's assistant, and I want acceptance by him because I look up to him, and he's very dismissive and condescending to me and makes it clear he has no interest in being my friend. He just wants a helper. And then we go on this journey. We're forced to go on this journey together. Finley is assigned to sort of look out over Oz by Rachel Weisz's character. So begrudgingly, we go on this quest together, and little by little, he can't help but be charmed by this little flying monkey.
And as a monkey, you speak.
Yes. Not right away. He thinks I might be mute, but in the end, and don't write about that probably, because that would be a plot ruiner maybe. I don't know. But yes, I speak.
I didn't hear any of that.
I guess it's a plot reveal, so I probably don't write about it. But yeah, I'm for a part of it. He thinks I'm mute, and then when push comes to shove, I have to speak, and we become friends throughout. And in the end, he accepts me.
What's it like working in that booth with Joey and stuff?
It's really weird. You'll see. Maybe you've seen. We sort of figure it out on set with the puppets, because they help the camera guys frame up shots, and they help us all figure out, okay, where is he going to be, and help give James something to look at, or the other characters. For me, it's mostly James, because most of my stuff's with him. And then to record our faces and our voices, they put us in this booth, and you kind of feel the inclination to almost overexpress, because you really want to give the animator something juicy frame by frame to go with. And so I find myself almost turning it up a little bit, so in my facial expression, so it'll really give them something to animate off of. And that's how they record our voice, and James wears a little earpiece so he can hear us. I don't think anyone's ever done it like this. So it's kind of cool to be a part of a new way of doing it, but it's challenging. I mean, often as an actor, you're in a black box looking at monitors. You know, it's like being in a cockpit. You know, you're like acting to no one, but people see it. They tell me every once in a while, some editor or one of the effects guys will be like, "Oh, I loved your reaction to that one line." And I'm like, "Thank God somebody's looking at it, because I feel like I'm in a black box."
Was this a project that you went after? Did it come after you? How'd you get involved?
I got involved, definitely when I read it, I wanted to be a part of it. I thought it was so cool, and I'm a big fan of Sam's, and I had never been involved in anything giant like this, so I thought that would be a great, fun experience, both as an actor and a filmmaker, to witness filmmaking on this scale. I'd never even visited a set like this, so I definitely wanted that life experience, and it just sounded like a great project. Yeah, so I'm sure my agents and everybody were going after it for me. And I think Sam's wife, who is a really big fan of the movies I've done and liked my acting, and I think she was a champion on the inside. Because I think he had heard of me, but not seen all my work. So I think she was like my champion on the inside, saying, "You got to see this." As the story's been relayed to me now, she was the one saying, "You haven't seen this. You got to see this." So,
have you sent her any gifts?
We went to dinner. We went to a couple dinners with them. This is just great. I mean, I really enjoy Sam so much. I'm looking forward to being his friend, not just his monkey.
You guys are filming in 3D. Obviously, you're in the booth, so you're not really seeing it. But as a director, what have you taken away from the experience and these red Epic cameras? And
it just looks amazing. Did you guys get a chance to look with the glasses at the screen?
No.
Oh, you should have them do that if you can. Pull your muscle. There's one monitor that's like a big plasma, and it's 3D. And if you look at with the glasses on, you can already see the 3D. And there's another one where they layer in what's going to be on the blue screen, so you can kind of, you know, it's obviously very rough, but you can kind of get a rough estimation. It's so cool. I'm a film geek, man. I love toys. I love everything filmmaking. So for me to just be around this technology is just so cool to watch it being used for the first time. Some of the stuff. I don't know how many movies have done the 3D with the red cameras, but it's got to be one of the first or early up there.
It's near the top.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, whenever you go to a normal set, the camera is so, you know, it's it's been made by a company that, you know, it's clean lines and everything. You look at this 3D camera, it's just like a ball of wires because it's the two cameras shooting one for each eye and so many wires connecting. I imagine in a couple of years it'll like all be in a box and look a little more like one thing. But I always laugh at it when I see it because it's so funny. They're making this giant movie with this big ball of wires. It looks like the Borg or something. It's cool. You know, I'm like I said, I just love the technology and the gadgetry and all the things they've come up with. It's really fun to watch.
They've created a very real world here, costuming and visual look and design and what have you. And not as a participant in a film and not as a creator yourself, but just as a fan, as a film nerd, as you yourself said.
Yeah.
What one thing made you go, that's a cartoon? Like,
well, I just had a funny moment where I was walking with Sam up to editing with a couple other crew members. And background guy named, his first name is Marty, I forgot his last name, but he was in Pirates. He's one of the little people playing the Munchkins. He was on Scrubs, actually, for a handful of episodes as one of the janitor's sidekicks. But that's a digression. We're going upstairs, and, you know, a guy in full Munchkin costume gets off, and he's like, "Hey, guys, hey, Marty," and everyone's, you know, and I'm like, I've been away for a week. Do you guys realize that we just got on an elevator and a Munchkin in full costume got off? Like, that's just funny. Every day, on my way to you, I passed a schoolroom full of children in full costume. There's so many things. Visiting the sets, I wander around. You know, some people just sit in their downtime in their trailer. I like explore. I got a bike. You know, I go to sets that they're building. Just because the film geek is strong in me.
So when they say come in on your day off, you're like, how soon can I get?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's better than sitting in the apartment, you know, doing nothing. So bless you.
It's hard to be fair.
So yeah, I love being here, and it's a great group of people. Everyone's really, everyone's just nice. All the cast is so sweet. Everyone gets along, and it's just a good vibe. You know, you'd think on such a giant movie, you know, it's going to be impersonal. I mean, that's what I thought. But it really is a solid, really good group of people. Everyone's very sweet.
It seems like there's something really cool about Sam Raimi coming back to Michigan. In a way, that was the Bottom Garden State.
Yeah.
Coming back. Are you able to tap into that fondness that he has for the area?
Yeah, he loves the area. And, you know, he really hired a lot of people. He's so loyal. You know, there's people who have one line in the movie who were in, you know, his first movie. He just loves the area, loves Michigan, and yeah, that is a nice aspect of it. Unfortunately, he doesn't have any time to. I just keep trying to get him out to have a beer with me, but I imagine on Saturday all he wants to do is lie down. But I doubt that's what he's doing. He's probably rewriting something. I mean, the guy just works nonstop, and you'll be here at 2 a.m. and he has his tie all the way up to his thing, perfectly like coiffed. Meanwhile, I'm like, you know, when I'm directing, like pulling my hair out, but.
Is this the kind? Would you ever want to make a film this big? I mean, is this the kind of?
I mean, why not? It's a fun dream to have. You know, I look at someone like Jon Favreau, who you know started making, you know, comedy dialogue movies like the kind that I'm drawn to now. And now look at him, so talented at what he did at with the Iron Man films. So I think it's possible. It isn't instantly what people think of me for, or necessarily what I think of for myself. Not something I would write. I wouldn't. But I would love to. Yes, the answer is yes, one day.
Talk a little bit about, we haven't seen your look in the circus. Talk a little bit about filming those sequences, and also we know you filmed in black and white. Yeah. Talk a little bit about the fact that you did film in black and white.
That's cool. Black and white 3D has to be the first, maybe. I'm guessing.
I have not seen it.
Or rather, since the 1950s.
Right. But I mean, like modern red epic right. Black and white 3D has got to be the first, I think. I don't know. It was really cool. That was when we first started. So, you know, this whole stage, you know, the size of the one we're on now, was a turn-of-the-century circus in Kansas. So the attention to detail, the costumes, it was just really, really fun way to start the movie. I was a human being, which was fun. you know, I had to, you know, period clothes like James, and I had like period sideburns, and my hair sort of slicked over. And we're doing, you know, the beginning of a tornado. So They have these giant wind machines going and hundreds of extras running around, mayhem. I mean, it's, I don't know whether it's hackneyed to keep saying the word, you know, surreal, but it's just so bizarre. There you are, and there's a windstorm, and there's people in turn of the century circus costume running by you, and those what do they call those things that that roll across the street? The tumbleweed. Like tumbleweeds flying, and Sam yelling on a megaphone, and eventually James's character gets into this hot air balloon, and they have the not the balloon, but the basket flying across the stage, and it was really, really fun thing to be a part of.
Well, could you talk a little bit about the costume you're wearing? And did you have, I mean, these the costumes are amazing on this. Did you have any input at all in your look, or were you sort of like, I'm in?
Well, I was in with whatever they said, but yeah, they asked my opinion on a couple things. It's kind of like in the spirit of what James has on now, but not as fancy. You know, they're a little like distressed because we don't have any money, so it's sort of like a dapper look with, you know, vest and bow tie and those things that keep your sleeves up and that thing, but it's all sort of worn down. It, you know, Sam kept saying, this guy probably only has two shirts, you know, if that. And so the look is very, we're trying our best to put on a show because we're magicians, but we don't have any money and we're probably sewing our clothes every night. So that's kind of it. It was like a... almost like I kept saying, like Fagin in The Artful Dodger. You know, it was like Artful Dodger was in tails, but like they had rips in it. You know, so it was kind of like dapper, distressed dapper,
shabby chic,
but not like a big overstuffed couch.
Just really briefly, a lot of Mr. Frankis' performance in this is, you know, him giving a performance of a man giving a performance. You know, he's Oscar, but he has to be Oz. What would you say is a key to you for understanding your performance as Finley?
I don't know. That's a good question. I think it's just figuring. I think my job is all of our jobs. We serve Oz, having this becoming a good person. You know, whether you want to believe that the world is all in his imagination or it's a real universe. It seems to me that he's a good man who's gotten caught up in so many things in life and lost a sense of who he is. So it's almost like all the characters in the movie come together to... it's like in the first one, the point was to teach Dorothy the importance of home and I guess other things, and the importance of all the other things she learned on her journey. So this is like a story... this is a story of how all these people, this whole universe, comes together to make a good man the great man that he could be.
Thank you very kindly for your time.
Thank you guys very much for coming out. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Nice talking to you.